What is happening? Welcome to the Buzz Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is September 26th. Happy Friday. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I do want to take a very quick note before I go through Friday, Saturday, yes, and Sunday, review all the starters. If we have helped you this year at PitcherList and you do not have a subscription, please consider doing so. We are essentially funded by the community. Yes, we have ads on our site. Yes, we do have ads on this podcast, etc. However, what we are trying to do is really make this a fully community-funded website. We only have 3 full-time staffers. We have about 100 freelance contractors as well. I am not even full-time yet because I don't feel comfortable taking a full-time salary at the cost of other people and more things at the site. And I want to keep this growing to provide people with a dashboard for your all of your fantasy leagues and analytics inside of it, a mobile app. I have aspirations for a fantasy platform that is customized to exactly what you guys want. We are creating a mobile baseball video game that I cannot wait to share more about. And of course, my grand vision of a baseball bar that is essentially a coffee shop and bar live studio that is our homage to baseball in the city of Manhattan, where it's just baseball 24/7. And the only way that we really get to do that is with your support. So if you've enjoyed what we've done this year, please consider getting PL Plus or PL Pro, and you can get 15% off PL Pro yearly with promo code PODCAST. That is PODCAST, PODCAST, all in caps, at pitcherlist.com/premium. I cannot thank everybody enough for being a supporter this year. It really does go a long way for us, and we hope that you want to join our incredible community and help us really get where we're going. All right, so Friday, what do we have today? We don't really have too many updates from yesterday. Shane Bieber, Trevor Rogers, Quinn Priester, Brandon Sproat. I think you go with all of those. Auto start is weird having the stream pick of the day as the auto start. I have that rare teal blue, I think only saved for Emmett Sheehan hosting Rocky Road before, and that was obviously amazing. So yeah, you go with this one. It feels like it should be great. He should be able to get a win. I know it's opposite Sandy Alcantara, so maybe there's a slimmer chance of a win as it normally would be against the Marlins. Still, you should do this. Probable start here, you have Emmett Sheehan against the Mariners in the tee. So this isn't as good because it is still the Mariners offense. I know it is a great pitcher's park, but Kyle Raleigh has 60 home runs right now, right? He is hungry to get to 62, okay? Hopefully 63 for the Mariners fans. I would love to see that. I think that would be such an amazing thing for Seattle going into the postseason with a bye. So I would be a little worried about Emmett Sheehan here for that reason. However, the Dodgers are likely going to let him go for a while. They have 4 starters already for the postseason. They do not have Emmett Sheehan in those plans as a rotation piece, just as a long relief. And he does not have the full amount of reps of a full season. He was out for a while. So I'm cool with this one with Emmett Sheehan. Let him ride. Trevor McDonald is the sneaky stream. I apologize for yesterday. As I put out the podcast, the news came out that Kaiwei Tang was not going to be slated for Friday's games, but Trevor McDonald instead. Now, I updated it inside the streaming ranking article, but I didn't do it for this podcast, and I apologize for that. Trevor McDonald, though, as you heard me say on Sunday and Monday, that he is my number one sleeper stream of this weekend, as it's Rocky Road in Oracle Park, and he just went 89 pitches, has a sinker slider approach that should work. I love this start. I feel like it's such an easy one. You just go and grab it. Rocky Road is a terrible offense, and if you have a right-handed pitcher with a slider, that should work like you do with McDonald, or at least a breaking ball. Joey Wentz is also someone I love here. Joey Wentz has had a breakout, in my view, of being a much better pitcher in previous years and actually being a serviceable starter that you can rely on. 7 feet of extension, up to 95 on his fastball with 17 to 19 inches of vert at times with it, with a slider and a curveball that goes down and into right-handers. And also he's added a changeup now. Yes, a lefty with a changeup. I'm very excited about this one against Pittsburgh. At least it's not in PNC Park, fine, it's in Atlanta, but I feel like this is a really good one and a guy that can go long. Like, he's not going to be silenced by Atlanta. They're not like, oh, no, we can't throw you more, Wentz. No, they're going to do that. It's weird to see Aaron Nola and Joe Ryan going against each other. So Nola against the Twins and Joe Ryan against the Phillies underneath all those other options. But let's be honest, Aaron Nola isn't at the very top of his game, and he might not be pushed a ton because the Phillies don't want to waste too many bullets before the postseason. I know he was out for a while, but nevertheless, you kind of don't expect to see Nola go 90, 100 pitches. Joe Ryan has been strange. He has not been himself really for most of the second half, I'd say, but more so in the last month. There's a splits you can see of sub-3 ERA for the first 2 months, and then it's over 4 for the next 4. That said, I think there was some like weird noise earlier on in June, July, and then it really came to a head in August and September. And really, it's not the fastball velocity or movement. It's just he's not locating it beautifully upstairs, nor is he getting his secondaries underneath with confidence. So against the Phillies offense that can just hit a home run or two, yeah, I kind of feel like you should not favor Joe Ryan as much as the other very clear-cut streams of McDonald and Wentz. I know that sounds crazy, but that's where I stand right now, as it's weird. You can avoid weird. Will Warren has just been fine, and he gets the Orioles, and the Yankees need to win every game, so they will lean in on Will Warren if he is pitching well. If he's not pitching well, they pull him, and that's fine, because he's not pitching well, you don't want him to go longer because he was not pitching well. So I think that the Yankees will let Warren go for as long as he's showcasing value. Now, he is their fourth starter, but I don't know how much they really need to rely on him for that first round. Maybe he would be the game four starter there. If the Yankees do win the division, then he's going, he's getting the week off anyway. There is a little bit of fatigue to be considerate about with Will Warren, as he's pitching far more than he did in any other season. But it will be, I mean, should be, Carlos Rodon, Max Fried, and Cam Schlittler. Not in that order, and I would even make an argument that it should be Cam Schlittler second, just so it's lefty-righty-lefty. If you're doing the, you know, playoff series and so you see different things in different days. But, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But anyway, Warren is going to be the fourth with Luis Gil of some kind. I would say that they go with Warren. Regardless, start him. You should get a win. I'm so sorry for the ramble. We've got 3 days to cover. My gosh. Noah Cameron at Athletics. It is Sacramento Verde, but Noah Cameron's done well. And yeah, I think you just kind of go with it. He's just been great, except for one game that was still showcasing excellent talent. You have Colin Ray also going against the Cardinals. Now, he might get a little bit more limited than the other ones, but it's the Cardinals. I feel like this is actually a pretty decent win chance here. And I say, yeah, go for that. Questionable start here is massive. And you have George Kirby at home against the Dodgers, but he'll likely be limited. Even though they'll get the bye, they don't really need to throw George Kirby, and just kind of don't push him, you know? It's also the Dodgers, so I don't really love that. Sandy Alcantara against the Mets. It's Sandy Alcantara, who's been good and bad, and it's the Mets, who are a good offense, and they're so hungry, but then they're cursed, kind of, but they're not. I don't know. It's too variable for me with Sandy Alcantara, so I'm just saying questionable there. If you need a quality start, they will push him, which is so crazy, because they shouldn't. This is his first season back from Tommy John. They pitched it all last year, and he's just gone the entire season. It's absolutely wild to me. How many innings, you're asking, has Sandy Alcantara thrown this year? 167.2! What? It just sound like Jerry Seinfeld. Well, he's going against the Mets, it's fine. It's weird. He shouldn't be throwing over 170 innings. We know that, but it's the Marlins who are going to train him in the offseason. They don't care, right? Slay Cicchone against the Rangers. He's been doing great. Slay Brigade is probably on my shoulder looking over and be like, what are you doing? Well, it's because it's Slay Cicchone. I don't quite buy it. It's not in Texas. It's in Cleveland. But the Guardians are just that hot right now, right? So I guess you go for it. Fine. But I just don't love it. I don't want to give my seal of approval. I feel like Colin Ray is just a safer thing for a win. It's just kind of how I feel. Maybe I'm being dumb about that. Whatever. You do you. Okay? This is your decision, not mine. I'm just telling you what I would be doing in my situation. Zach Gallen at the Padres. I think the Diamondbacks pushed them from the Dodgers to face the Padres because they want him to do well, as they won't be signing him, and they're going to offer him the qualifying offer. He's going to say no, and then he's going to sign with another team. It's a higher likelihood if he does well in his last start, which means the Arizona Diamondbacks have a higher likelihood of getting that comp pick if he goes against the Padres and not the Dodgers. That is a silly conspiracy theory. Not conspiracy, but silly theory from me. That's probably not what's going on. But I would think the Diamondbacks would let him go 6 innings because they want him to have this good start, right? So there's something to be said there. Kyle Harrison against the Tigers. I haven't really been impressed by Kyle Harrison as a Red Sox yet. However, this could be the game that works out really well for him. He's in Fenway, not in Tampa, which you don't love, but it's not Tampa where it's very weird and pitches don't go where you want them to, which would explain his weird command last time. It's also the Tigers, who are worse against left-handers. They're also really hungry. They need a win so badly. The Red Sox, they just need one over the next three or a Houston loss. Like, they can't go over three and the Astros go 3-0. Then they're out of the playoffs. Otherwise, they're in. So it's not like the biggest code red for Harrison to do everything in this. They might just kind of take it easy. I don't really expect like six innings of dominance or anything from Kyle Harrison. That's what I'm going to give you right now. Yoenis Gomez could work out. It is the Nationals. I don't think he's as good against lefties than righties, as the breaking balls are not as effective against opposite-handed batters. Still, this could work. He just really hasn't put it all together yet, so I'm not so convinced. Jack Leiter is a piece. Poor execution, awesome stuff. And it is at Cleveland, which means that the changeup will have to do more against the lefty lineup, which I'm not super thrilled about. I really want Jack Leiter to hone in on four-seamer slider first and then have the other stuff, because the other ones are more inconsistent. It's really just a typical overpowering four-seamer slider guy, right? Like, this is what you're supposed to do, and then you're supposed to have the other pitches help. He's inconsistent. So if you're chasing strikeouts, I understand. I don't expect this to be the insane Jack Leiter start. Luis Morales, we know the highs and the lows. He's in Sacre Verde against the Royals, who are a good offense. So be careful with that. Kate Gavalli is PL Bot's pick of the day. I actually unlocked PL Bot for this weekend and also for Sunday starts in full on the site. So if you want to really get a good look at PL Bot for a moment for their last three picks, you can go and see it. I want to show you guys at the end of the year when you need it most. I'm not going to make you pay for a month for one day or two, okay? Kate Gavalli, though, against the White Sox, that's PL Bot's stream pick of the day, which is shocking to me with all the other ones. And Kate Gavalli hasn't really come through in a major way with the matchups he's had thus far. That said, it's a very good curveball. The White Sox are not very imposing at the moment, unless you want to be in on Keel and who's Colson Montgomery and the Teal? Wait, is it Teal? That's the catcher? I don't know. I saw them in New York the other day, and they were fine. But yeah, I don't really want to go with Kate Gavalli. Jason Alexander against the Angels. There is a chance that the changeup and sinker work really well against those right-handers. It's just, he's not really proven himself as like a 6-7 inning guy. He gets pulled a little bit early. The Astros need to win every game, so they're going to really do this one hard, which means that Alexander, if he gets into any trouble, will get pulled. Zach Littell has a chance for six innings because the Reds really need him to come through. And if he's looking good, they will keep riding it. And it's in Milwaukee. Milwaukee doesn't have anything to play for at this point. I believe they have sealed up the number one seed of the playoffs. They don't. It is 96-94, so they need like one more win. Probably, unless they don't have the tiebreaker against the Phillies, then they need two, I guess. But yeah, I don't really think that you should be too afraid of that Milwaukee offense. Still, it's Zach Littell. I don't love Zach Littell. I just know that he has a chance to go six innings here and get a win. Mitch Keller at Atlanta. It's Mitch Keller. You know what you're getting in yourself into. It is a 15-team Toby at best. I don't like that for 12-teamers. I think the ratios are just too questionable. Not a good, great win chance. The sweeper is the only thing that's kind of working. We'll see. Yu Darvish at hosting Arizona. Yu Darvish hasn't been good for a bit, you know, and we haven't seen it yet. I don't have any expectations really for this, but it could be the one. Casey Mize is in Boston. They need him. He was 93.5 in his last start, and not 95.5 as he was in the previous one. I'm not having any faith in this. It's a very tough scenario for him in Fenway. Adrian Hauser is your quality start streamer if you really need it. The Jays are dire need of a win. It's 91-91 against the Yankees right now. Oh my gosh. They have the tiebreaker. So as long as they win outright, they are in, but my gosh. Ooh, this is a scary one. Hauser could do it. It's in a dome, which means that things work normally. But yeah, I'd be scared of that one a bit. But if you need a quality start, fine. But the last three are Miles Michaelis at Chicago, Kyle Hendricks hosting the Astros in LA, no. And Germán Marquez in San Francisco, no thanks. All right, we're going to talk about Saturday and Sunday, and we'll do that after this break. Saturday's games, Tyler Glasnow, Ranger Suarez, Logan Gilbert, Merrill Kelly, Michael King, Cam Schlittler, Bubba Chandler, Justin Verlander, and Jacob Mizrowski are all in that auto start tier. Don't know how long Tyler Glasnow is going to go, nor Ranger Suarez, or Logan Gilbert, But you'll see Merrill Kelly go full. Michael King should go full. They need him stretched out looking good. Cam Schlittler might be limited a little bit as he's been pushed a lot already. But we'll see how things shape up. They do need that win to win the division. Bubba Chandler, I think, is going to have a full long leash there. And I'm really excited for him to seize the opportunity because his four-seamer command has been unreal. And you have Justin Verlander, who I also think will go longer than you'd expect. Because he says he wants to come back for 2026, but he wants to prove that his last start was not really who he is. You know, did not go well last time against the Cardinals, and this is Rocky Road. He should dominate this one. So yes, you should absolutely start Justin Verlander here. And then it's Jacob Mizrowski, who will not go long. I'm telling you right now, even though it's the Reds carpet, oh, the beautiful Reds carpet, he will not go long. It could be four innings of like 10 strikeouts. Okay. I'm not even kidding. Yes. 10 out of 12 outs could be a strikeout, but that will be it. Okay. You have probable start of Spencer Strider. He's going against the Pirates. Fine. You're just going to go with that. Andrew Abbott is it opposite Mizrowski in Milwaukee. He's been hot and cold. He's weird. Yeah. I think he still go for it. Jameson Taillon against the Cardinals. Connelly Early against the Tigers. Connelly Early is looking great. He's also honestly making an audition for the rotation for the Red Sox right now. So I think they're going to keep riding him and seeing like, yeah, cool. We're going to let you go far to showcase that you got this. Give you a little bit more experience before the playoffs. Jameson Taillon, I feel like you don't have enough reps on your arm right now this year. So yeah, we want to make sure you're good to go for the playoffs. And in that wild card series, he's going to go full, I believe, against the Cardinals. And now Clay Holmes and Sean Manaea. I think the Mets honestly should be saving one of Sean Manaea and Clay Holmes for Sunday because David Peterson is not the guy they want him to be. So if this game is going very well for Sean Manaea early, which it looks like he is the one leading, then I would imagine the Mets could hold back on Clay Holmes and just let Sean Manaea go as long as he can and then save Clay Holmes for Sunday. So that is a possibility for Saturday here. Sean Manaea is the one starting. So I like both of them. I have Sean Manaea's questionable start because he could go just four innings, right? But I'm cool with Sean Manaea and Clay Holmes because Clay Holmes, if he does come in, will likely be around the fifth. And that means you have a good win chance with Sean Manaea, as I mentioned before. But it's the Marlins. And then again, Sean Manaea did not do well against the Nationals. So we'll see. Joey Cantillo gets the Rangers. I think Joey Cantillo is a fantastic pitcher, an amazing changeup, great extension. I'm cool with this one. Trey Yesavage is my stream pick of the day. I'm actually kind of shocked that of the 15 guys already listed here, none of them are under 20% rostered, and Trey Yesavage is 19%. But he's hosting the Rays. I don't think that's a tough matchup. I actually like the fact that he's getting a lot of lefties because that should allow the splitter to dominate. So I'm looking forward to that. I know he just faced them. I believe he just faced them in Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay is weird and it messes with things. And I think that there wasn't that. It was the Royals. I apologize. Yet Savage's last start, it's coming back to me now. 36% fastballs for strikes. And when you look at a bad start, you got to ask yourself, what is the thing that didn't work? And do we think that's going to not work again? No, I don't think the fastball is going to be a 36% strike rate. Okay. Cool. Everything else was good. And Yuri Perez is going against the Mets. I'm just going to do that. He has not gone very long this year because remember, he came up around June. Came back from Tommy John. So yeah, they'll let him go in a normal start here. And I know it's the Mets who are fighting for things and all of that, but I think that Yuri Perez is just too good of a talent. That's how I see it. I understand if you do want to bench him. As I mentioned, Sean Manaea in that quality questionable start here. And then you have Eduardo Rodriguez against the Padres as well. That's a decent stream for a quality start, right? The Padres at that point might be taking it easy. They have the playoff spot locked already. Okay, it's done. They are the number five in all likelihood. I mean, it could be the Cubs or the Padres four or five. That would essentially mean that the Dodgers are going to face the... the Dodgers are going to win the division. However, they will be the automatic three. So then they'll play the six. The six will be the Mets or the Reds. That means the Padres and Cubs are going to be facing each other regardless. So doesn't really matter. I guess home field advantage between the two, but I think the Padres are just going to be taking this easy, and they're not going to push hard with their offense. Michael King will be there, as we mentioned before, but Eduardo Rodriguez, I think, is a good chance for a quality start if that's what you're going for. Sean Burke against the Nationals. Sean Burke's curveball to lefties is actually kind of interesting right now, and the four-seamer is at 95-96, so that is a very small chance, but it could work. Same kind of thing with Mick Abel as both these all-around upside plays, right? We haven't seen Mick Abel showcase himself as a legit starter yet for the Twins and getting locked in and being that regular guy. I think the skill set is there, but we haven't really seen it yet. It is interesting to note that this is against the Phillies, the team that traded him away. So that's kind of a fun one for Mick Abel. A little bit of a revenge game, you could say there as well. You have Caden Dana against the Astros, which seems like, what are you doing, Nick? Well, it could be a case that the Astros lose on Friday and they're out of the playoffs, and they kind of take a break on Saturday. You know, they kind of just give it a breather, and then they have more interesting stuff on Sunday. Not to mention that Caden Dana against a right-handed lineup like the Astros could do well with sinkers and sliders. So, not ruling that one out. He will get the leash, and it'll be hard to find long leashes, especially on Sunday. So that's why I have him at 1% rostered in the questionable start tier, because if you need something that goes at least five innings with any chance of a win, Caden Dana is one of them. And yeah, also is Kyle Freeland. I know that sounds bonkers. He's in San Francisco, though. He's not in Coors. We've seen three major strikeout games in his last four since yelling at Rafael Devers. It's a Hail Mary play, but I wanted to highlight this one instead of the other ones because the do not starts are really just not appealing. It's Michael Wacha in Sacre Verde, and that has a low floor there without much of a ceiling. You have Chris Paddock against the Red Sox in Fenway. I don't really want to do that one. Michael McGreevy, but it's against the Cubs, and I just don't think that's a matchup you want for a ground ball guy or like a non-strikeout guy. It's just too low of a floor without much of a ceiling. I guess it kind of could be six innings and a win, but no, I don't really think it's going to happen. Joe Boyle against the Jays. Maybe the Dome helps with this one, and he throws 60% strikes again, but even then he had more walks than you'd want. I just don't think Joe Boyle's worth it. I think the floor is lava, and it's very unreasonable to expect like six innings, one run, six Ks from Joe Boyle. AJ Blueball is going for the Astros. Now, he's only got about 40 pitches. It was like 30 to 40 in his last game of relief. I'm not expecting him to go long in this one. So this might be a stitched together game for the Astros. I can't suggest AJ Blueball there. You have Tomoyuki Sugano, but he's going against the Yankees, so no thank you. Jake Irvin, no, against the White Sox. Yes, he had finally one good game because it was the Mets and they're cursed, but no. And then Mitch Spence against the Royals in Sacre Verde. He is not looking great, so we don't go with that. All right, we are now going to shift to Sunday's games, and we're going to talk about those after this break. All right, Sunday, this is chaos, and I really want to emphasize the fact that I have these rankings, but it's not really ranking the expected length, because I will give the note to you how long I expect them to go, but their quality is all really good in the auto start tier, right? I am doing the quality aspect early on in this because you're probably not going to get burned by starting them. However, if you have limited starts and decisions to make between this or that, just keep in mind the notes I make about who is going to likely go long and who is not, okay? So Tarek Skubal, yeah, he's going to be fighting for this. If the Tigers are somehow golden by, you know, they win today and tomorrow and the Guardians lose both, then Tarek Skubal will not pitch on Sunday. But you should expect Tarek Skubal to pitch on Sunday because as of right now, it's a high chance that that game means something. And he's going to ball out like as much as possible. Freddy Peralta against the Reds. They have a bye in the first week. Don't expect him to go long, but my gosh, it's Rocky. It's Reds carpet. Same with Christopher Sanchez against the Twins. Nick Pivetta should not be starting. I don't think we're going to see him on Sunday because he should be pitching for the Padres in their wild card series game two. I think is how they're putting it because it's Michael King and then this, but it could be Pivetta one and then he doesn't even make the start. Same with Logan Webb. I don't think the Giants should be starting Logan Webb. And this might be Kaiwei Tang. So keep that in mind. that Kawei Tang, who did not start on Friday, but it's Trevor McDonald. I think Trevor McDonald goes through that one because he has the bullets to do. They don't really care. But Logan Webb, he's thrown so much this year. And you could see Tang come in. That's rocky road. So if you need like a desperate vulture strikeout win guy, Kawei Tang might be the one for Sunday. Cole Reagans, yeah, they want him to get his innings. They want him to feel good before the season ends. So yeah, start Cole Reagans in Sacre Verde. Kyle Brash, same kind of thing against the Yankees. They're going to let him fly because he has limited innings this year. Kevin Gausman, they are playing for something in all likelihood for the division on Sunday. So yeah, expect Gausman to ball out. However, if that doesn't matter, do not expect Kevin Gausman, as the Jays will then be saving Gausman for game one, or they might start him if he's getting the bye as a division winner. So keep all that in mind, okay? The only way that Kevin Gausman really, I guess, does not start is if they have lost the division already and they need him for the wild card series. You have Gavin Williams as well on the last day. If this game doesn't matter, Gavin Williams does not start. Just keep that in mind. They will not get a bye in any realm here, the Tigers or the Guardians. So Gavin essentially starts if they need to make the playoffs still, or win the division, or the wild card, whatever it is, those two. Or they decide that Gavin Williams has pitched too much and he should be set. I mean, save for the wild card series. There is a case to be made that if the Tigers and Guardians are both locked for a playoff spot already before the end of the year, it's not going to be a bye whoever wins that division. Right, there it's gonna be either the 3 seed or the 4 or 5 or 6 seed. So you can make a case that Tarek Skubal shouldn't even pitch on Sunday, Gavin Williams shouldn't pitch on Sunday, because they should be saved for that playoff series regardless. Keep that in mind. Actually, the more and more I say that, I do not expect either of those guys to start. You have a probable start tier of Lucas Giolito and Luis Gil. Giolito is their very much backup option for the Red Sox, but he would be saved for the wild card series. So I do not expect Giolito to pitch here. You could see some random fellas. I don't know who, but yeah, that won't be Giolito in all likelihood. You have Luis Gil. Now, Luis Gil is the number 5 for the Yankees, and he doesn't have a ton of starts so far, only 10 starts. So I imagine they actually want him to get his reps and hopefully get a little bit more comfortable with his command beforehand. So that's fine. That's questionable. That's a probable start. And questionable start, I mentioned already about David Peterson against Miami. It looks good on paper, but then you remember that David Peterson has been all over the place. And you might actually see one of Sean Manaea or Clay Holmes appear. It would be more likely Clay Holmes, as right now Sean Manaea looks like the guy that's starting on Saturday, but we don't know. So keep all of that in mind. Charlie Morton is my stream pick of the day against the Pirates. I initially had him as do not start, and then I realized Charlie Morton has been acquired by by Atlanta after being released by the Tigers. This could be the last start of Charlie Morton's career. And he's in Atlanta where he wants to pitch. He likes to be there. Oh, man. I get a sense that he's just going to ball out. Like, he is going to go as hard as he can. Velocity will be a little bit higher up. The curveball actually has been good. He gets the Pirates. The Atlanta will let him go more than 70 pitches and all. That has turned into my stream pick of the day because of just the upside of that narrative, in my view. Christian Javier is the one that was previously the stream pick of the day, as also 15% rostered at the Angels. Now, the Astros likely are out by then, but Christian Javier still needs to get his innings. So I still think he's going to start, and it's against the Angels. And the Angels are right-handers who would be susceptible to his sweeper and his sinker and his four-seamer. So I think that's fine. Shane Smith against the Nationals. I don't know if they really want to throw him that much because they've had a lot of talk about limiting Shane Smith, and I'm surprised they let him go 5 innings in the last one against the Yankees. It is the Nationals. His changeup could work really well there, and we'll see. Bryce Miller, I don't know how long they throw him. He's not in that rotation if Brian Wu is healthy, but he is in the rotation if Brian Wu isn't healthy. It's also a bye. It's also the Dodgers, but it's also the T. I don't know. It's too weird. It's too just like, are you going to be good or not? I don't know. Bryce Miller, I don't really feel like I need to chase that, but if you are going for a high upside of strikeouts. Okay. Brady Singer, the Reds are likely going to be playing for something here on Sunday. Again, it's just for that one wild card spot. So unless they go 0-2 and the Mets go 2-0 the next 2 days, then they are playing for that. And Brady Singer at Milwaukee, good luck. There's a quality start chance there. Yoán Oviedo is also someone to consider. Also is Brad Lourdes against the White Sox. Brad Lourdes is higher than Oviedo. He's actually done okay. And that's really it. The White Sox are not good. Brad Lourdes has sinkers that go inside. He has other things, I guess. Whatever, maybe. Yoán Oviedo against Atlanta. His stuff is good. It's just that he doesn't command it all well. So hopefully that's a really good stuff game. He hasn't pitched much, so they should let him fly in this one. And that's a little bit exciting, of course. Instead of Mike Burrows, we might see Mike Burrows come up in relief. Honestly, I would think they would just shut down Mike Burrows at this point. So you might get six innings and something surprising here. Eber Cabrera, they shouldn't be pushing him. But he did just go about 70 pitches in his return. And that means he can go 75 or so here against the Mets. That does mean five innings plus is possible for Cabrera. And Cabrera looks kind of good. So maybe that works out. Ian Seymour is a lefty against Toronto in Toronto. It's not a good matchup on paper there. However, Ian Seymour has had some decent starts. So fine. That could work out. I don't really want to go for that one. Brandon Pfaadt has an opportunity for six innings because Brandon Pfaadt, they might just shut him down, though. He's pitched a lot this year. I don't really love Brandon Pfaadt anyway against the Padres. I know he's had some good starts as of late. I don't really want to go for this. And Javier Assad against the Cardinals. I don't think he goes very long. They could just push him because the Cubs don't see him in the playoff rotation. But he's just so boring, and I don't know. It's a weird day on Sunday. You might want to get other guys in there. I don't feel like Assad's going to be like, no, I need to go six innings today, you know? Do not start here. Maybe it's Clayton Kershaw. He did pitch an inning of relief. I think it was one inning. He came in relief for the Dodgers on Thursday. So that could just be used as a bullpen day, and they could just give him one more proper start of the regular season. That's it, and call it. But then again, you just had the last game in LA, and don't you want that to be kind of your last start? I don't know. It wasn't the result you wanted, but it kind of feel weird to do it in Seattle, wouldn't it? Well, regardless, let's say he does start and they're saying, yeah, this is the last game you play. I don't think he'll have more adrenaline than he did last time in LA. And that didn't go well. And the Mariners are a pretty dang good offense, even though it's at the tee. I don't want to touch it. Patrick Corbin is a sneaky one against the Guardians as a lefty as well. We've seen a sub 10% or 10% usage of his fastballs, about 16% last time. And the changeup is here, and so is the slider and the cutter. It could work. I'm just saying they do not care. They will let Patrick Corbin start this one. So there is that opportunity. Jeffrey Springs, maybe the Sunshine and Rainbows and Sacrovaird against the Royals. I just don't really find that interesting at all or captivating, but there is some upside for that to work out. Sammy Woods Richardson had two really good starts with a splitter, and then it wasn't very good last time at all. But it's at the Phillies now, and Sammy Woods Richardson could have a long leash for the Twins. I don't really want to go for that at all. Sam Aldegari, absolutely not, against the Astros. McCade Brown, he did just have a really good start in Seattle, and this is at San Francisco. It's possible. You can kind of see it's like 95, 96, and it's got some extension. And I'm not going to say no, but probably not. And then Kyle Leahy, it's just a bullpen game for the most part. It's like 3-4 innings is what you should expect for the Cardinals against the Cubs. It's not something you should really be concerned with. All right, that is it. That's it. I will have my streaming article out tomorrow and Sunday, and you should expect the next Plus Pitch podcast to come on Monday. I will do a review of the year and let you know about what is ahead for the offseason here at Pitcher List. At the very least, I will have my top 200 out next week, and then I will be doing my team breakdowns through the end of this year. I'm not going to be waiting until January and February for those. You're going to see them out this year with these Plus Pitch podcasts coming out November and December. Okay. I will have a note of double checking throughout January if I need to do any updates to these, but I will be doing these initially November and December. So make sure you subscribe. Do not miss those. They are the best way to prepare for your season. Just learn about all these starters with me. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.